Welcome to the Hardwater Fishing Show with your hosts, Jeff Kleiboth and Jason Killaby. We talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends.
Excited to be talking about ice fishing today. Just today I was up in the McGregor area looking at a partially frozen lake. It is November 5th, so we've still got a few weeks before we can go ice fishing, but because we can't go ice fishing, the next best thing is to talk about ice fishing. So my buddy Jason.
I would say the next best thing about talking ice fishing and fishing is you get to open a beer. And
yeah,
have a conversation. So Jeff, and I would note that I am drinking my beer of choice, which is an Old Style, which is hard to find here in Iowa, but I do find them.
I have a Lonely Blonde, which is brewed in Minneapolis. So it is a local brew and it comes in a bottle, not a can.
I thought you were talking about your wife there for a minute.
No.
Lonely Blonde.
She's not blonde. She's a dark hair.
I think she was blonde last time I saw her, wasn't she?
Probably not. I think this conversation is going to get me in more trouble when we publish it.
She won't listen to it anyway. All right, you ready? We're going to
open. Well, you go first. I want to hear what Old Style sounds like when you open it. I don't know. That sounded kind of wimpy. All right.
It doesn't taste wimpy. It's like a steak.
It's a full-bodied beer, isn't it? All right. Here we go. Lonely Blonde opening. Ready?
Very good.
Did that sound less wimpy?
No, it squeaked pretty good.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good.
Yummy. Ooh, that is tasty. All right. So now that we've cracked our beers, had a good laugh about it, we are ready to talk more about ice fishing. So like I said before, it's getting real close to ice fishing, so we're talking about gear. You know, we're looking outside. Can't really go ice fishing yet. I mean, maybe if you have one of those hovercraft things, I don't know. So we're talking about ice augers.
So here's how the topic of ice augers came up. I was up on Lake of the Woods last year with an old Strike Master, and worked good the first 2 days. Third day, thing quit running, wouldn't fire. It's probably 20 years old. And so I told Jeff, I said, I'm ready to buy an ice auger. And so that's how we thought, well, let's talk about ice augers. And so I live in Iowa. And in Iowa, I have different needs of ice augers, and maybe some of you guys do way up north. But I wanted one that would meet all the needs I have and something that wouldn't die on me all the time and wouldn't leave me stranded.
Yeah, so I'm glad I wasn't stuck with you ice fishing Lake of the Woods. As much as I would want to be ice fishing on Lake of the Woods, I'm glad I wasn't stuck there without an ice auger that would work. So,
I almost spiked the auger.
So you somehow managed to get holes drilled in the ice last year, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I was with my uncle, and he had a Jiffy, which actually ran.
Jiffy. So that those things good. Weigh like 1,000 pounds.
It just under 1,000. I think they're 859.
like you bring a separate trailer and sled behind the snowmobile just for your ice auger so that you can make it there.
Yeah, an auxiliary sled for the auger.
All right. So I mean that was like last year. So what did you do about it?
Well, so what happened here is I was actually on an ice fishing forum, and some guy posted on about the Ions that Scheels had this smoking deal on Ions. And so I went to Scheels online, and they had an Ion 10-inch auger for a too-good-to-be-true price of like $150. And I'm like, well, hell, for $150, I'll buy an electric auger. So I bought it. But lo and behold, the next morning, they email me and they say, hey, no dice. That was a mistake.
Yeah, $150 ice auger seems kind of like a mythical beast.
It was truly a mythical beast, but it got me thinking about electric augers and an option for a gas auger.
Yeah, so you were thinking electric. I mean, I've kind of been interested in electrics, right? I've never actually tried one. But, you know, they seem like a good thing. You don't die from the carbon monoxide that they spew out when you drill a hole in your shack. Seems kind of positive. Maybe they're a little quieter. I get why you'd go electric. I mean, the only problem is when you're up on Lake of the Woods and you have your one battery and it runs out because, you know, you're drilling through 3.5 feet of ice. It's kind of tough. But so I get electric. So there's electric, and then you looked at a gas one. I mean, the Jiffy was gas. The other Strike Master was gas. I have a gas ice auger, right? I mean, they're great. They're lightweight. They work. So what do you do?
Well, so I looked at the Ion again, and you can get an extra battery for them, but the batteries are actually roughly $150 for an extra battery. And I've used electric auger type auger before. I have an attachment for my DeWalt drill for a smaller auger for early season that works pretty well. But there again, once your batteries are dead, the thing's toast. I've never had an electric item that lasts more than
3 years. Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, I guess you have your DeWalt drills, right? I mean, they're supposed to last forever, but the battery packs still go to crap. And
every couple of years, you're killing batteries.
And, you know, I'm too cheap to buy a DeWalt drill anyway, so I've got, like, you know, Harbor Freight or whatever you got. And those things last, like, 6 months. Well, they last longer than 6 months, but we'll just say they're not quite the same as a DeWalt.
You can't drill a hole with a Harbor Freight.
Probably
drill.
Not.
You could maybe make a hole in the ice and throw your Harbor Freight drill down in anger.
Yeah, that would be fun.
So I spend a lot more time dreaming and thinking about ice fishing sometimes than I get to fish. And when I do go fishing, a lot of times I'm with people, so I'll end up not using an auger. So part of the problem with the gas auger I had is I didn't use it enough. I would let Jeff use his auger because it might as well ruin his equipment.
Might as well drag mine across the lake and, like we did last year.
It absolutely. I mean, better than my stuff getting broke. So I started looking at propane augers. And Eskimo made a propane auger that was pretty highly reviewed. And so I picked one up this year. And I've run it a couple of times in the garage. I did buy a block of ice and drilled a hole through that.
That's awesome. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the important garage test, I mean, that is an important test you need to do. I mean, because if your auger doesn't start in your garage, then you might be in trouble.
See, and my shit always starts in the garage, but then when I get out on the ice, it waits. It waits for me and determines that okay, good. He's far enough away that he's going to be really, really mad when I don't start. And then it won't work. So it's just my life. It's how it works. But so this propane auger I got, I went with Eskimo.
Because you need an extra trailer to drag behind your snowmobile for your ice auger?
I didn't want the Jiffy. I didn't want the Jiffy because it takes up too much weight and then you can't bring as much bait or beer or food with you when you go fishing. So I went ahead and bought the Eskimo, and the Eskimo is one of the few brands that actually created a motor or had a motor created for them that is specifically designed for propane versus a gas retrofit. Jiffy makes one, but it's a gas retrofit. It's not it's not specifically to propane.
Cool. Yeah.
So early testing on this Eskimo auger has one thing I don't like so far is it does not have an off switch. So to turn it off, you have to turn the gas valve. It's got a lever style gas ball valve on it. And you have to turn that valve to shut it off. Yeah. So, you know, if you were in a situation like, you know, you got yourself kind of tangled up in it or it took off on you, it could be a little
interesting. And does the propane run that fast where, like, if you shut it off, does the motor kill right away or does it kind of, have a few fumes that kind of flow in there for a bit before it kind of dies out?
It lingers for about a one count.
Okay.
So it shuts down pretty quick, but it's probably a one and a half count before it shuts down. I wonder a little bit about the durability of that because you've got that valve and a hose and then up to the regulator. And so that was the other thing I noticed on it, that it's really a vulnerability as it travels in your ice shack, because if something hits that valve, you could bend that valve piece in that whole regulator, and then you'd be sad.
Yeah, I'm picturing snowmobile, Lake of the Woods, 7 mile ride across multiple ice heaves across with rolling around in your sled, and then you're getting there and you open the tarp and there's just like propane just seeping out from everywhere because the valve broke and it's just coming out. So I don't know if that's the realistic world, but that's what just went through my mind.
But I mean, that can happen with a gas tank too, where it something punctures the gas tank, or I've had on that old Strikemaster, the hose would come out of the bottom of the dang thing. And or the gas tank leaks. I transport my augers in my, I have a Suburban, and so everything goes in my Suburban. And so with a gas auger, then you'd get, you know, just a little bit of fuel smell within the car, and then the wife would get grumpy about that. And so I'm hoping the, you know, at least the propane, if you smell it, you know, you got to open the
door. Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know if you would say you just have a Suburban. I mean, it's not just like any Suburban, is it? I mean, it's kind of special. It's kind of big and blue and has like, what, 300,000 miles on it or something like that?
No, 230.
It's 230, just it's just been broken. So, I mean, we got to be careful with it. I mean, it is precious. Like, we have to be careful with this Suburban. You wouldn't want to spill gas in there.
No, I try to keep up my vehicles. That thing's a... I have standards.
I know. I mean, you
not high ones.
Have you cooked any sandwiches on the dashboard with it recently?
No.
Not recently. Okay, then not recently. But anyways, so I don't know. I think when it comes to ice augers, though, they all have their kind of pros and cons, right? I mean, it kind of sometimes depends on what you're doing. I mean, I always got worried about electric ones when I'm on Lake of the Woods and I'm 7 miles out and I have an electric battery, right? And we know you're chewing through 3 feet of ice. You know, they say they drilled 25 holes, but not, I don't know what the number is. How many, I don't know what the ion number of holes they'll drill is. I'm sure somebody would tell me, but.
They said about 25.
25, really? Yep. Okay. Wow.
Yep. You're right in the ballpark.
So if I can only drill 25 holes, the way we fish, that's not really a lot. So you're talking like you're buying the extra battery with that ion because you want 50.
Well, we troll. I mean, little known fact that Jeff and I and our friends, when we fish, we troll, even though it's ice fishing. And I would venture that not a lot of people use this approach, but we do. And we have a lot of success with it. If we have four guys, we put out 8 tip ups. And if the last tip up hasn't had a bite, or the first tip up hasn't had a bite, when you get to the last, then you pull it, you drill another hole, and you just keep moving. And I think it took us, 12 years to get halfway around Lake of the Woods?
Yeah, I mean, it was something like that. I mean, the ice was almost out. We started when the ice went in, and we just started trolling around Lake of the Woods. And, you know, we made it a certain ways until the ice went out again. But no, I mean seriously, I think you know, there's a place for those electric augers. I just don't know if it's on Lake of the Woods 7 miles out, you know, at 3 feet of ice. I mean, I don't know if that's where they belong. So, you know, then you go to gas, and we've talked about all the problems with gas. It spills all over the place. I mean, it does. I mean, mine does spill all over the place. Last year, my gas auger, I bought a case for it, and then this year I bought a hard case to go around the metal parts on the bottom. You know, it's like a tube kind of thing. So, I mean, I've got all those things to try to keep the gas from spilling out. And, you know, if you lay on the right side or whatever, but we all know eventually you're spilling gas. So,
So yeah, I mean, I think, you know, maybe that's, even though it kind of sucks, maybe the propane's the next best thing because it doesn't spill gas, but you can still probably bring a 1 pounder. I don't know how many holes you get out of a 1 pounder on one of those gas or propane augers.
They say as far as holes, you can get about 40 holes with a foot to 18 inches of ice. So some of it'll depend on how sharp your blades are, what the kind of ice you got. But I always have 1 pounders anyway for the heater. So I'm buying the same fuel. The other real big advantage for me on the propane is the carb will not get dirty. So there's no carburetor to gum up. There's no fuel pump to go bad. It's all, you know, just, it's nothing, one less thing to maintain.
Yeah.
That I need to worry about. In theory, we'll see how it goes. I mean, even the maintenance instructions in the owner's manual they say for winter maintenance, all you got to do is, you know, pull the shaft off and make sure that doesn't freeze up and stuff.
Yeah, and so, I think that's a big advantage because that's the other thing that's a pain in the butt about gas is, you know, I mean, we all have small engines. I don't care how much stable you put in them, how much you take care of them. They just, you know, eventually they just don't work that well. I don't know. Maybe somebody else has more success than I do, but I feel like I try to do all those things that you're supposed to and it still doesn't always help. So I mean, my Strike Master, I think it's 4 years old. I sent it in to have it refurbished for this year. I mean, part of it was that we drug it across the lake and last year and it came back with some pieces missing, but you know, the main part was the carburetor was starting to give out. So yeah, but I was actually surprised only that many holes, 40 holes. That is still one advantage with the gas is, I mean, yeah, you fill that little tank. What is that, like a quarter of a gallon or something? I mean, you go like all day long. Mm-hmm.
But have you ever counted the number of holes you've drilled?
I never count, but that's the nice thing. I don't want to have to count.
I think that 40 is probably more than what you think it is. I mean, it's 40, right? Yeah, it's 40. But I don't know that. I mean, I know we drill a lot of holes, but it'll be interesting to see this year when we use it, just how long, you know, comparatively it lasts or if it seems like it runs out quick or, you know, we'll have a lot better handle on that after our trip.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, and I'm sure
to see what that feels like.
We'll have a gas one there too. I mean, you don't go ice fishing with one auger, not when you're 7 miles out, no matter how good it is. Yeah, no, I'm excited to see it.
Shit, if it things can and will break. I will guarantee you one thing, though. It'll be tied in a lot better than yours was.
Thanks. I don't know if I don't know what to say to that. I don't know. But yeah, it's in the repair shop. I'm getting it fixed. So this year it should be back with some missing plastic pieces maybe and some new carburetor. The funny part is, like, I've never changed the blades.
What is your?
I mean, I'm having to redo the carb, and I've never changed the blades. I mean, the blades need to be changed, but, anyways.
What does that weigh, Jeff?
Oh, my Strike Master. It's less than 25 pounds.
Yeah, this one weighs at 23 pounds. Nice. Yeah, so it's lighter than the. The Jiffy.
Yeah, and I think weights, you know, we didn't talk about that too. We talk about the carb and how it powers, that kind of stuff. But the weight is a big deal, right? I mean, if you have a super heavy ice auger, you're going to wear yourself out drilling holes. I mean, you know, you look at some of those 40-pound monsters that they have out there. That's hard to carry around all day.
And we should mention we're talking about the 8-inch hole.
Yeah, and I mean, that leads us to another thing, but I guess I know 10 inches are really popular, but I have an 8-inch and I love it. I mean, I don't know. I've never caught a fish that won't fit out of my 8-inch hole. I don't know. Have you, Jason?
Well, you could fish with a 4-inch hole and still pull all the fish. Nice. You catch through that.
Come on. Is that how I leave it out? That's how I left that out. It's just, it was like I teed that one up, I know. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I think you're just dragging around more weight a lot when you do those 10 inch. And I get that it's easier to pull it with your Vexilar and stuff, but I think an 8 inch is plenty big. I mean, you can probably get away with smaller if you want to. I mean, you're fishing for crappies. You don't need a 10 inch hole.
The reason I've always been against the 10 inch is the fact that your Vexilar or your ice electronic unit will fit through a 10 inch hole.
So are small children.
And small children. And Jeff actually has managed to put his boot multiple times through an 8-inch hole.
Twice in one day.
He has twice in one day. Yeah, no doubt. So it's I think it's a safety thing too with equipment, because stuff goes down those holes.
Jeff, yeah, I still am calling somebody from somewhere in the bottom of the lake. Yeah, that's happened.
Well, were you watching Seinfeld?
I was watching Seinfeld on YouTube, or not YouTube, one of those streaming services, and bad things happened. So yeah, I don't know.
And then as soon as Seinfeld hit the bottom of the lake, all the fish quit biting.
I don't think we caught that many fish. There was a reason I was watching Seinfeld. I mean, we'll just say they weren't jumping in. So yeah.
They clearly.
Yeah. So no, I mean, I think 8-inch, I saw Ian, I was at Cabela's this weekend and they have all their ice fishing stuff out. And, I saw that Ion now has a 10-inch one too. I don't think they had a 10-inch one last year. I don't know. Maybe they did, but yeah, I am definitely a 8-inch hole kind of guy. I'm waiting for some comment.
There are so many things I could say, but we did talk about that. We want this to be a family show. And in case your kids are there in the back seat on their way to school, we don't want to say too many things.
Of course, it's a family show. I had no other intentions. So, but really, I mean, but I still think though, all those types of ice augers, I mean, I can see the propane versus gas, maybe you kind of have some overlap, but you know, if I'm a guy who owns one of those cool ice castles, I wish I was that guy. I'm not, but you know, if I'm in, I think those Ions would be awesome, right? I mean, you're not drilling 25 holes a day. My guess is you're not trolling with your ice castle, right? You find a spot.
You could though. You could troll with them.
But you find a spot for your, you know, you go wherever, you find your spot with your big ice castle, you drop it down and you drill holes. So, I mean, even if you have a big, big one, what do you got, 12 holes? That's like the biggest one you can find is a 12-holer. I mean, your Ion's going to be great because you don't have to die of fumes inside your ice shack, right? Pretty awesome. But,
yeah, and I think it's a good thing not to die. If you do die, can you leave me your ice castle?
Yeah, if anybody's running those inside their ice castle and, you know, needs to leave me their ice castle, I can give you my address. Yeah.
I ran a post hole digger inside my basement one time. I would imagine that'd be about the same.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too good. You probably come out with bloodshot eyes and kind of feeling funny.
It was ugly. I was putting in a sump pump and I needed to drill a hole and it was all clay, so I was using a post hole digger. Electric or gas one. Yeah, so I've had experience in that and it's don't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so those electric ones have a place. And I even see from a lightweight perspective, we haven't even talked about those, you know, the drill ones now that are really popular. You know, I don't know, what are they? There's some clam one and there's a, was it cave?
The
K-drill. There's a K-drill with some foamy thing on the end of it that, I don't know, has some purpose that I haven't quite figured out yet. But yeah, I mean, and those seem really popular too. And I definitely like the lightweight. That's why I like the one I have. It was, when I got it, it was 25 pounds. That was pretty light for ice augers then. But you know, I mean, I like lightweight.
A guy I work with has one of those K drills and he swears by it for early ice. And he uses, he bought a really good, brushless cordless drill.
Yep.
And I think it, but the drill set him back, I think he said just under $300.
Right. It's not cheaper. So I mean, it might be cheaper than an Ion, but it's not cheaper than a gas auger. It's just lighter.
And not cheaper than a propane either, but it is definitely lighter. And if, you know, you can grab that in one hand and your other stuff, and but that's for them, you know, the guys that are walking. But if you're in a machine, there's no reason to spend that kind of money on a lightweight drill. Cause
right. And then once the ice gets 2 feet thick, you know, I'm sure it would still be hard. I don't know. I've never tried one. I guess I would like to hear more about it. But yeah, I mean,
The Amish use them. The Amish use a lot of those. So
They
do.
I trust you. Amish. So, I mean, but I think, you know, there's lots of different ways that, I mean, you can go get a hatchet too, right? If you need a hole in the ice.
You could drive a pickup
there's
on
that
too.
Early. But, you know, I mean, that gets kind of expensive. I mean, it is a method, but. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I mean, ice augers, I think, is one of those big three, so we could talk about them for a long time, right? I mean, you know, to go fishing, you have to be able to somehow put a hole in the ice, so it's important to have an ice auger. Probably more important than any other gear you have. I mean, you know, your Vexilar or whatever Vexilar you use, whether it be Hummingbird Vexilar, not that that makes sense, but, you know, your fish finder. Is pretty important, but you know, it doesn't do you much good if you don't have a hole in the ice. I mean,
some of them shoot hole right through the ice.
So then they can like tease you because you can't fish for them. You can only shoot through the hole to see them.
You can just shake your fist at the fish down below you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's important to have an ice auger of some sort. I mean, and I've had hand augers and they're okay for like a couple inches, but you know, and then, yeah, so I mean, it's important. So I don't know, any other ideas about passing closing thoughts on ice auger, Jay?
Get one that runs.
That's a good advice.
That's my advice is short. You know, you're going to have to buy whatever the budget in your budget. The Ions, they push $600. The propane one, you can get right around $400. And you can get a really decent gas one for probably around $300 if you watch.
They've really
sales.
Come down in price.
The gas have really come down. I think the electrics have pushed them down a bit. And the K-Drill and that whole setup has pushed the price of those down. So gas is probably by far your cheapest route. And you can find them all over used for $1.50 to $2. But I always think that a good small engine and a good outboard and a good auger that's used, they're kind of like women. Nobody gets rid of the good one. So just food for thought.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, yeah, I'm with you on that one.
So
yeah.
That's
I guess my closing thought is just, you know, they all will, you'll use them in different areas. I mean, maybe you need more than one. Maybe you need your early ice one. Maybe you need your ice castle permanent one. Maybe you need your Lake of the Woods, drag it around for 8 miles behind your snowmobile one. So, you know, I mean, I'm not lucky enough to have so many. So I have one, so I have a gas one. And so far it's been pretty good, but, you know, it's 4 years old and all has to get fixed. So.
Hey, I was gonna mention one thing on this because you talked about dragging it around. This actually has
metal handles. Yeah, my plastic ones haven't broken, but I get the metal handle thing.
Yeah, so just thought that was an interesting.
So, passing closing thoughts is metal handles. All right, cool. So yeah, I mean, I love talking about ice fishing gear because you can't always be at the lake, right? So it's kind of fun. I'm sure we're planning on talking about lots more ice fishing gear, like fish finders and I don't know what other kind of topics we'll have coming up. Jason, do you have any other ideas on future topics?
Well, I think electronics, we've sure debated that one over and over and over again within our group. So yeah, I think we should do fish finders next, because that's how many hours have we debated
And I went to Cabela's and I was looking at those things. There's so many of them out there now. It's crazy. And, you know, it's anywhere from 300 to, you know, 1,200-1,500 bucks for some of those things. So yeah.
Yeah, you can get into some crazy money on them, and then you can sit down next to your buddy that's got one he paid for a couple hundred bucks, and nobody can see crap because they both interfere with each other. So yeah, there's some really interesting stuff going on with fish finders.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that'll be our next show here. We'll talk about fish finders, and we could talk for a long time about fish finders. So I think we decided that we would close our show with a story. So Jason and I are part of a group. We've been going on a nice fishing trip for, what is this? What year, Jay?
I think this year is 19. Year 19,
so isn't it? That means two things. One, we've been doing it for a while, and two, we're old.
We started when we were two.
When we were two. Something like that. Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, we thought like
two. Yeah, well, there's probably that too. So, this was up at Stone Lake. So we were at Stone Lake. We were tip up fishing, right? Getting some decent sized northerns. I mean, nothing crazy, right? I don't remember. Do you remember them being big or small?
Oh, you know, some of them were snot rockets, but some of them were probably in that 26
yeah,
to 28
so,
range.
So, you know, I mean, it's a good day. We were out there trolling with our tip-ups and our gas auger, drilling holes, catching northerns, you know. Stone Lake's good for that. So, we catch a northern, and, you know, it's kind of fun when we catch northerns. You get a flag, everybody runs to the hole, right? And we were younger then, so there might have been some tackling or pushing involved to get to the hole, right?
It was full
yeah,
contact.
We don't do that anymore because we'll probably break a hip or something. But we don't run,
number one.
Not unless somebody's chasing us anyways. But so I don't remember who pulled the fish out of the hole, but one of our other buddies set his beer down next to the ice hole, right? And I'm pretty sure it was an old style Busch Light or some not very expensive beer. But he sets his beer can right next to the ice hole. You know, you kind of get down there, you start pulling the line out. And yeah, it's a northern. And I don't remember, big, small, whatever. Don't even remember. But, you know, as you're pulling it out of the hole, of course, what's your favorite thing about northerns, Jason?
Oh, the slime on them things.
So, yeah, so this was a maybe particularly terrible, slimy one, right? So as they pull the fish out of the hole, the slime trail goes over the beer. So you can imagine, like, you know, the slime's like flying off the end. Jason really likes this. He loves northern slime. And, you know, goes gagging over the beer, top of the beer. So we, I don't know, whatever, we threw him back, or I don't remember what happened, but get set up again. So our buddy picks up his beer and takes a nice big swig of beer plus northern slime. So,
God, I'm gagging just thinking about it.
So I don't know if you call that, like, you know, is that some kind of sushi? I don't know. Sushi beer. I don't know what it is, but it's one of our tales from ice fishing, of hard water ice fishing, the last 19 years.
I can still see his face. I don't think you're right on the lake, though. I think you got
it's
the
possible
lake wrong.
I don't know where it is. I mean,
that I think that happened at the cabin, at that cabin on the state park.
You could be right. Could be right. Savannah Portage.
I'm always right. You should know that by now. Yeah, I believe it's that Savannah.
You might be
Portage.
Right on that one. I don't know. I don't know why. I guess when I think of northern tip-up fishing, I always think of Stone, but who knows? We'll just say some lake in Minnesota.
Yeah. A lake
there
that
you
should
go.
Not be named
yes,
in northern
there you
Minnesota.
Go. All right, well, this is our first podcast, so hopefully you stay with us. Hopefully you find ice fishing interesting. I don't know, Jason, do you have any parting words?
We'll get better.
We will. We won't stop talking about ice fishing. So
that we will.
Thanks for joining us.
You guys have a good night. I'm out of here.